There is no secret. Christian Leaders Institute is about ministry training. And the word minister is more connected to the word deacon than it is connected to the word elder. So the heart of a minister is the heart of a deacon. Today, I want to talk about that by talking about the heart of a minister that comes from the word diaconus in the New Testament. The word diaconus in the New Testament means one who executes the commands of another, especially of a master. It means a servant, an attendant, a minister. In the NAS version of the Bible, the word diaconus appears 29 times. In one instance, it's translated as deacons, and that's 3 times. In another incident, which is 7 times, it's the word minister. Servants receive 10 applications of the word diaconus, and servant, singular, is 9. So the fact is that when the translators of the New Testament look at the word diaconus, context tells them, and there's sometimes debate about this, where the context puts the word deacon, where it puts the word servant, where it puts the word minister. But I think this is amazing that this word is rich in ministry. So what I want to do today is I want to survey diaconus. I will use a variation of the word deacon or minister, mix up a few words here so we can get sort of the essence of how deacon was understood, how servant was understood, how minister was understood in the New Testament. Now, let's first of all look at Matthew chapter 20, verse 26. It's a famous passage. It says, "It shall not be so among you." Now, he's talking to his disciples here who are going to be the leaders, the ministers, the apostles. "Whoever desires to be great among you shall be your diaconus." That is, your deacon. To be great, you must be a deacon. Oh, wait a minute. Now, that usage would not be deacon there, because deacon is like a title. But you get the point. It's the word diaconus. To be great, you must be the servant. That's one. How about another one? "The greatest among you must be your deacon." Oh, that's Matthew 23, verse 11. "But he who is great among you will be your servant." So the NAS translate that as servant, but it's the word diaconus. Powerful. To be your deacon, you think about that. It's like let's say you're married to someone and say, "You know what, I want to be your deacon, dear." You want to be my deacon, dear? Yeah, I want to be your servant. You know, for me, I want to be the deacon of Christian Leaders Institute. I don't want to have some title or anything. That's not what I want to be defined as. I want to be defined as the president deacon. Powerful. But this word is rich, and it's used further. Here's a very interesting passage. John 2, verse 5, this is Mary, Jesus' mother, and he says to the servants, the deacons, the stewards who are helping at the wedding at Cana, and I love this part, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Whoa, hey you deacons out there, you servants of Christ, you ministers, whatever Jesus says, do it. It was for the stewards at the wedding of Cana, and it's for you and it's for me. So we see the word deacon in various usages. Here's John 12, verse 26. "Whoever serves me, let him follow me. For where I am, there my deacons, my servants, my ministers also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Oh, that's outstanding. Wherever my deacons are, wherever you're at, that's where Christ. Christ is, you know, wherever Christ is, that is, once you be there. That another powerful passage. Where I am, Jesus says, there my deacons will be as well. Here's an interesting one. Christ is referred to as, and I'm just going to use the word deacon here, just for us to think about how this word is used, is a deacon of circumcision. Romans 15, verse 8. Now I say that Christ has been made a minister, a deacon of the circumcision for the truth of God, that he might confirm the promises given to the fathers. So in that sense, Christ is a servant, a steward, a deacon of the circumcision of God. Then we get into the book of Romans, and now it refers to Phoebe. And Phoebe is a woman minister, a woman deacon, a woman servant. Many translations, you know, put it this way. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church that is in Centuri. Now, what I find interesting here is, does that mean servant? Does that mean deacon? Does that mean minister? Really, all of them are interchangeable. Why would I say that's, you know, deacon or minister? Well, first of all, in a title, you know, would you ever do this? Hi, here's Henry, a servant. No, it's a title. It's a masculine ending. Here's Henry, the president of CLI. You know, when you're given the introduction, that's how you're giving the introduction, especially when it comes to her carrying the letter of the Romans, being a proisteme, which is another word referred to as Phoebe. But what I like is, in some ways, it's irrelevant. In some ways, deacon means servant. Deacon means minister. Deacon means deacon, diaconess. So Phoebe is one of them as well. Here's another one. I find this fascinating. And this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Who then is Apollos? Who is Paul? But deacons, that is servants, that is ministers, through whom you believed, and each as the Lord gave to him. So now the Apostle Paul is a deacon. Apollos is a deacon. These are doers. These are ministers. Phoebe is a deacon, a minister, a servant. Paul, Apollos, ministers, servants. Oh, here's one. This referring to 2 Corinthians 3, 5, and 6. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to account anything as from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who made us sufficient as deacons, that is, as servants, as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. If you're in ministry, you are deacons of a new covenant, ministers of a new covenant, servants of a new covenant. This whole idea of whenever I hear the word deacon now, in my mind I'm thinking servant, minister, deacon, all one word. Especially in this usage in these 29 times in the New Testament. But there's more. Here's one. Commending ourselves as deacons of God by action. See, Apostle Paul, so who is a deacon? A deacon is not some title that you get. A deacon is one who is in action. 2 Corinthians 6, 3 to 5. We give no occasion of stumbling in anything, that our service may not be blamed, but in everything, by commending ourselves as servants, as ministers, as deacons, of God, in great endurance, in affliction, in hardship, in distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, in riots, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. You know, I grew up in a Christian church, and what a wonderful experience that was. And I have, you know, my father was ordained as a deacon. Now, one of the things I noticed about my father is he was a doer. He, in fact, he's still living as I speak. He's going to be 97 within a month. And I always loved the fact that he, as an ordained deacon, he'd be out there. But I found it was really interesting because he's a doer. I was finding it like in that church I grew up, there were elders and deacons, and it seemed like kind of the speakers and the ones who had strong opinions about things and who had money in my church growing up were the elders. Great guys. I love them all. Okay. And the deacons were the people who would do like the money, and they would do like my dad would fix the boiler at the church. And one time he was fixing a boiler and the water, you know, came on him and he got all burned second and third degree burns on his legs and all that. And he just kept that, you know, got that taken care of and just kept on going. He was a real doer. While it functioned in the post-Reformation church, I want to see us go back to the essence of the word where we release ministers and leaders. And what characterizes a deacon is they're in actions. They're doing ministry. They're ordained for ministry. Here's one very interesting. The Apostle Paul was made a deacon. Look at that. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. That the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of his promising Christ Jesus through the gospel. Whereas I was made, and it's translated, a servant. Now, this is one case where it's really fascinating. And I'm, you know, far be it from me to be an expert on translation and context. But if I were to translate this, this would be one case where I feel the language, the Greek language, would be better served by saying, whereas I was made a deacon. Now people are like, Paul, a deacon? Yeah, you know, it's controversial, but I'm going to go with it. Yeah, why not? In fact, when he had an issue that he wanted some help about, what did he do? He went to the elders to make a decision. Where were the elders? Where was the apostolic council? It was in Jerusalem. There was a decision about circumcision. What should we do? What should we do? You know, Gentiles, should they be like Timothy, circumcised? And, you know, and what was the deal? I mean, why didn't he just, if he was an elder, why didn't he just make that decision? Instead, he calls himself a deacon. Could it be the Apostle Paul lived in ministry and died in ministry, a martyr, as a deacon? Now, I understand that later maybe he was also an elder, but there is some precedent that he was a deacon. Like when there was a whole debate about circumcision and about Timothy, and then he gets a decision at the elders at Jerusalem. So he comes there and he asks for their decision of these wise leaders like James, who's an elder. We also hear in the Bible that, you know, Peter is an elder, John is an elder, but we never really hear of Paul being named an elder, but he said, I was made a deacon. Now, somebody may say, well, later on in Timothy, it seems like Paul appointed Timothy as a deacon or an elder. Does it work out that deacons appoint elders? Well, why not? Why is that not possible? I know that this story in my particular tradition of a woman named Joanna Veenstra, who back in those days, they didn't have really a category for women evangelists. But here in the 1920s, this secretary out of New York and New Jersey gets this calling to go to Nigeria. So she goes to Nigeria and she creates churches. Today there's, you know, over 500,000 in this church that she created historically now. And what she would do is she would like develop leaders, and all the leaders that she developed were male, because in those days men were both the elders and deacons, but she somehow was the appointer. Well, she didn't really somehow do that, because that wasn't really there, but single-handedly this woman went over there and raised up men who served as elders and deacons in this church that today in Nigeria has 500,000 people. Now, how we see it today is a man or woman deacon, an evangelist, a leader, appointing other leaders and appointing men to office or women to office through a process of vetting and through a process of appointments. After you have become ordained as a deacon, a leader, and then setting up an organization, I think that's totally plausible. Here's another passage I think is very interesting. Tychicus was a deacon too. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. But that you also may know my affairs, how I'm doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful servant, is how it's translated. But it's the word diaconus, the faithful diaconus in the Lord, will make known to you all things. Now, Tychicus is mentioned five times, Acts 20, verse 4, Ephesians 6, verse 21, Colossians 4, 7, Titus 3, 12, and 2 Timothy 4, 12. So here's an example of Tychicus being a servant, a minister, a deacon. I love this passage in some ways, because it's talking about the formal title of elder and deacon. Philippians 1, verse 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, and with the overseers and deacons. This time, specifically the word diaconus. So now you have elders, in other ways you could say, with the elders and ministers, the elders and servants. I love that contrast. The elders who are leading and bringing control in the affairs of the church, and the servants group, the minister group, the doer group. So here, what a powerful force. You've got the elders and you've got the deacons. You've got the elders, the episcopates, and you've got the servants. You've got the elders and you've got the ministers. I love that combination, and that's that word diaconus. Here's Epaphras, is a fellow servant and deacon. Colossians 1 verse 7, even as you learned of Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. The translation here is the word minister. It's the word diaconus, the word that was used of Phoebe, the word that was used of Paul. He was made a diaconus. So we really see how rich this word really is. Oh, and there's even more passages about Paul being made a deacon. Colossians 1 verse 23. If it is so that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which in being proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, was made a servant, which I, Paul, was made a deacon, which I, Paul, was made a minister. Do you feel the gravity of this? I do. Or Colossians 1:25, of which I was made a servant, a diaconus, according to the stewardship of God, which was given me toward you to fulfill the word of God. Again, if you interchange the word deacon with servant and minister, what a powerful thing. Let's look at some of these qualifications of ministers. Okay? So now what I want to do is like use diaconus as minister, servant. 1 Timothy 3:8, deacons, diaconus, in the same way must be reverent, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for money. Let diaconus, deacons, servants, ministers, be husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own households. In the same way, women who are deacons or ministers, so, are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. So we see here, to me, if somebody said, well, what's the qualifications of ministers, deacons, servants? It's right here in 1 Timothy. Here's another one. Timothy, a good deacon. Oh, really? Timothy? 4 verse 6. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister. It's the word diakonos, again, of Jesus Christ. You'll be a good deacon, nourished on the truths of the faith and of good teaching that you have followed. So I want to conclude this by talking about five observations from all those passages. The first of all, the office or title or function of diakonos is a rich story in the New Testament. It's a rich story with a rich word that goes into the ministry of Jesus. From if to be great, you must be the deacon. It goes into the early church. It goes through the ministry of Paul. Paul was made a servant, a deacon, a minister. Latin later took the word deacon and made the word deacon and translated into minister. Minister. What does CLI do? Ministry training. So we're at the minister grade of training. As we think of a clergy minister, we think of a deacon at our very essence. And then as deacons grow and grow and grow, maybe they're also elders. So you have, I like this concept where you start in ministry, all ministers, they're deacons. And some of us will become elders, and especially as we get gray hair or no hair, somehow that becomes part of. So the apostle Peter and John, when they're young, and Jesus talking to them, he said, "To be great, you must be the ministers, the deacons. You must be the stewards. You must be the least." If one thing you characterize Christian Leaders Institute is that quality, that the ministers of that come from Christian Leaders Institute, they are not about themselves, they are servants. That brings me to two. Diakonos is a rich metaphor for ministers. Boy, if you think that serving as a bivocational minister is about your own glory, if you think for one minute that being a minister is about yourself, about, you know, this is about me, it's about my popularity, when this word diakonos is a word that is one of you do an errand for the king, you do a work for the God of the universe, it's the essence of being a minister is being a servant. Number three observation. Diakonos includes men and women. You know, there is a big debate in the church of my background is the Christian Reformed Church. And in this, there's a big debate in the 1990s whether women could go into ministry. Up to that time, all ministry was four men, both elders and deacons were men. And at some point, they allowed deacons to be women, but they never could get their thoughts around the early church understanding of deacon. So when they finally made the decision to have women as elders, the decision was much more of a social justice or cultural relevant decision. It didn't really, in my opinion, look at the rich metaphor of ministers. So the minister of the word is an elder, and they decided, well, the elders can be both men and women. If a local church goes along with it, they'll make the word male inoperative in, quote, what they call the church order. If I look back at that, you know, I would be, I see with all my studies and all the history now of Christian Leaders Institute, that would probably go down the thing, well, why couldn't there be deacon clergy women as well as men? And why couldn't there be, like, just leading men aspiring to that role of elder? So as men get older and they utilize all that God-given masculinity side of their personality, walk with God side personality, if nothing else, to model to the young men who, many of the young men are so, in today's world, they need mentors and models. And it, though everything I'm saying right now is completely politically incorrect, and if you disagree with me, I totally understand how this is not that political correct to say it this way. But how beautiful to say that men are called in to be elders, women are called, and men and women both are called to be deacons, servants, and these deacons are the ministers. And these ministers are called by God to be out there and to proclaim Christ and be liberated to serve Him with their whole life and their whole being. So at Christian Leaders Institute, we are happy to welcome men and women to ministry, to be ministers, to go out there, to plant house churches, to serve the poor, to lead in local churches. And people will talk about some of the passages. Well, what about, you know, it says in Corinthians, you know, women remain silent and in passages. And I look at their historical context, I do see the revolutionary concept of allowing women to be used in ministry and to not overstep that new freedom. And in this local church or that local church or that particular context, be very sensitive. Yet the preponderance of the New Testament evidence is that in the book of Acts, verse 2, Peter says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Sounds like ministry to me. We see Phoebe, she's even called a deacon, masculine ending. We see, you know, people like Lydia, and we even see in the ministry of Jesus in the book of Luke, we see Johanna and others. Even when Jesus is dedicated at the temple, he's dedicated by a woman prophet named Anna. We see that God has a role for men, he has a role for women, and this ministry is something that we ought to be all about, and we are all about that at Christian Leaders Institute. Number four, the deacons seem to be doers of ministry. This term is vivid and alive in the New Testament. When elder is talked about in the New Testament, it's often sort of a decision-making, go-to-board-meetings type of term that these people with that gift, these men were exercising that gift to make difficult decisions, because the fact is when you're in ministry, things are not so easy sometimes. You want a separate voice to sort of figure things out. They're the deacons are the doers. The servants, the ministers are the doers. And last, ministry training at its essence is deacon training. What you're getting at Christian Leaders Institute is the doer training. Some can criticize Christian Leaders Institute as being, you know, are you really all that academic? Oh yeah, we're very academic for the purpose of ministry. But our classes, I'll give you an example, like a class like People Smart for Ministry. That class cannot be found in a curriculum in a typical seminary. Because a typical seminary is developing the academics for the perceived role of elder, you know, of kind of a person who's out there in a role that's not emphasizing the doerness, the doership, the engagement that we have given ourselves passionately for. Now, having said this, do I want to compare? Are we better than anybody else? We're not. All I'm trying to do is bring up the point that this training, deacon training, leadership training, ministry training is vitally important. But the essence of this training is not for yourself, it's to be a servant, to be a steward. So, as I finish this up, I am so excited about ministry, even more excited than before I did this study. I am excited because I feel comfortable at one with what Christian Leaders Institute is all about and what this house church network, this church network, this local leader ordination is all about. Let it be said that this is about serving our master and doing ministry until our Lord Jesus Christ comes back.